Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon, high school tennis fans. This is your host, Coach Denise, bringing you the FHS-TCA perspective on high school tennis. Beautiful day here in Florida. I think we have a very interesting show coming up today for you. Naturally, we are going to be talking to a coach that I'm familiar with and blessed to have had a couple of my players go and play tennis for him. Before we do get started, I would like to tell you that next week, next Thursday, we have Mr. Florida as our guest, Mr. Florida Tennis as our guest on the show. If you're in Florida and you've been here for a few decades, there's two things you know. If you're talking about junior tennis, Mr. Junior Tennis of Florida is Bobby Curtis. And if you're talking about tennis in general in Florida, you're talking about Jim Martz. He's the founder, the editor, publisher of Florida Tennis Magazine, and he's been a big supporter of Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association, and each issue I do write a couple of articles on high school tennis with Florida Tennis Magazine. Great place to get your tennis information, not just in Florida, but really all over. Let me see if I can get our guest on. I think I see that he's called in. Today we're going to be talking to Charles Wright. He's the head men and women's tennis coach at Marion Military Institute. Those of you that don't know, Marion Military Institute is the Military College of Alabama, and it's been that way for years. Like I said before, I happened to know Chuck for a while. I did miss him this past winter. Usually he heads down to Florida during the winter to recruit some people. I didn't get a chance to see him this winter. Coach, are you there?
Yes, I am, Coach Denise. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, it's our pleasure. I was just telling the audience that I didn't get a chance to see you this winter. Does that mean you're not recruiting our Florida high school kids no more?
Oh, quite the contrary. We have two players that are going to sign with us from Florida, and one of them is Stella Fidel, and she's from Stuart, Florida. I believe Jensen High School is where she played. Jensen Beach High School. And the other is Blake McDonald, and he's from Milton, Florida, plays for Milton High School. So we have a young man and a young woman from Florida going to sign with us, and you know, we're very happy to have them on board.
I do know your girl more than I know the young man, but it sounds like what I've seen of her, you have looks like you might have your number one player for next year. You're going to have some great competition. question there.
Well, we're hoping that's going to be the case.
Can you tell the audience, I didn't know, and I told them I've been blessed to send two girls up to you, but most people don't realize that, number one, what Marion Military Institute is and where it is in Alabama. Would you like to share that with the audience?
Okay, sure. Marion Military Institute is located in Marion, Alabama. And to give you some bearings for those of you who might be a little bit familiar with the state, to the south of us, 3 hours is Mobile, and to the north of us, 1 hour is Tuscaloosa, where the University of Tuscaloosa is. And then we're about a half an hour to the east of Selma and about an hour and a half to the east of Montgomery. And Birmingham is about an hour and a half to the northeast of us. So that gives the audience some bearings as to where we're located. As for Marion itself, Marion is kind of a in the middle of nowhere, but there have been some famous people from this area. One of them is Nicola Marshall. He designed the first Confederate flag, and he taught at the female seminary over here when he, as an art instructor. And then there's a famous author, Mary Ward Brown. She's mostly known for her short stories. Tongues of Flame is one of her, you know, collection of short stories, and she wrote about racism in the South, obviously. And Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King's Jr.'s wife, was born here and raised here. Her father owned a general store just outside of town here in Marion, and Coretta and Martin Luther King Jr. Were married at the homestead there, and you can visit that up the road. And also, in the news recently was the Bloody Sunday celebration in Selma, and the president came down on March 7th. And in 1965, that all came to a head. And that all began right here in Marion, Alabama, when Jimmie Lee Jackson was beaten and shot on February 18th, 1965. He died almost a week later, and that was kind of the precipitating moment in the voting rights movement. And there's a plaque to Jimmie Lee Jackson right behind the Baptist church on the main square in town. And the banners all around town, the purple banners that are flying here, commemorate Bloody Sunday, and it says where it all began. And so that's a little bit about Marion itself. As far as Marion Military Institute is concerned, it began in 1842 as Howard College. And then around 1887, the Alabama Baptist Convention decided to move Howard University to Birmingham, Alabama. And I don't know then or at a later date, Howard University became Samford University. But anyway, Colonel James T. Murphy, MMI's first president, he chose to stay, and then the college was founded, you know, in 1842 and continued as MMI after that in 1887, you know. So it's Alabama's oldest military junior college, and it's the oldest military junior college in the nation, and it's famous for Breckinridge Military Hospital. During the Civil War, the MMI Chapel and Loveless Hall were used as that hospital, and the hospital treated both Union and Confederate soldiers there. And in 1905, we had a famous visitor come to MMI. His name was Woodrow Wilson, who later became president. At the time, he was president of Princeton University. He was invited to speak here, and after his presentation in honor of him, MMI changed its school colors to black and orange, and the tiger was adopted as MMI's mascot to honor him and the Princeton colors are obviously black and orange, and Princeton University's mascot is a tiger.
Yeah, many people don't realize the history that MMI has, and of course, some people I mentioned earlier don't realize that the school is co-ed. People think of military schools. They think of just boys tennis in these schools. I think one of the questions that I get asked, because as you know, I'm a supporter of this school. I've sent you a couple of young ladies before. And once you get through the military, I remember the first one, she says, "Coach, why do I have to go in the military to get a scholarship?" And maybe you could explain what the admission requirements are, and is it a requirement to join the military when they graduate? And what does it take to graduate from Marion Military Institute?
Okay, in regard to the military obligation, that's, you know, and whether you're required to join the military, that's one of our most frequently asked questions. And the short answer to that is definitely not. Okay, there are programs here that require military involvement, but it's not a requirement at all. As far as admissions requirements are concerned, these are the minimum admissions requirements. You need a 16 on your ACT test and a 780 SAT on the verbal and math portions, and you need a 2.0 cumulative high school GPA and obviously your high school diploma. And then once you have that verified, then you have to complete an application, and there's a non-refundable $30 application fee. Then you need a copy of your birth certificate or any proof of U.S. citizenship, copy of your Social Security card, copy of the immunization record, and a copy of your high school transcript and any college transcript or transcripts that you might have, and then a verification of the ACT or SAT scores is required. Okay.
And in order to, what are the academic requirements that you need, and can somebody? Does MMI accept a transfer from students?
Well, as far as transfers are concerned, you can transfer in. I've had students transfer in like 3 credits, maybe dual enrollment or advanced placement courses. And some students, I believe, have transferred in, you know, up to 60 credit hours. And in order to play a sport, as long as you haven't played the sport in college, then you can be accepted here and earn your associate's degree. So anywhere from, I would say, 3 to 60 credits, you could still, you know, transfer those in. And, you know, if you haven't received an associate's, you can obtain one, you know, very shortly. But there I think there's a one-year requirement that you attend for 1 year at the school. Okay. And in regard to the academic requirements, to get an associate's degree from MMI, you need 64 credit hours at 2.0 or above GPA. And I have a list of different courses and sections that you have to take and requirements that you need to meet here at MMI. For instance, English composition, you have to take Comp 1 and Comp 2. In humanities and fine arts, you have to take 12 credits there. And this might be surprising to some of your audience. We have such courses as Fundamentals of Public Speaking, Chorus, Marching Band, Vocal Ensemble, Music Appreciation, Theater, Art Appreciation, Drawing, you know, art history, digital photography, survey of Old and New Testaments, history of world religion, American Lit 1 and 2, World Lit 1 and 2, Spanish is the foreign language that we offer. In the natural science and math sequence, you need 11 credit hours there. We offer biology sequence of that, chemistry, physics, and trig and calc, and finite math. And then in the next section, history, social, and behavioral sciences, we offer world history, U.S. history, a sequence in those, military history, obviously, principles of business management, personal finance, general psychology, intro to sociology, criminal justice courses, macro, micro economics, and then we have a military science requirement. For those not interested in the military, they take 4 credits of military science, 1 for each semester they're here, 1 credit for each semester they're here, and then electives round out the coursework. So basically any the first 2 years or any 2 years of any school, you get those basic requirements out of the way, and you start to find, you know, what you might be interested in studying later on in your program when you go on to your bachelor's degree.
Right, so very typical. I know I always told my children, think about just taking a liberal arts. You have plenty of time to decide what you're going to do, but especially the first year, and that's the great thing, I think, about two-year schools or community colleges. Let me ask you, I'm sure a lot of the people are thinking about, especially for tennis players and looking to play college tennis, and yet you're thinking about the life of a cadet, a student athlete. Can you discuss what the life of a cadet, student athlete is like, and do female cadets, what do they do different than the men at the college?
Okay, I'll answer the second part of that first. All students are treated the same. I mean, there is no discernible difference between the male and female students. So, you know, everybody's the same across the board. As far as a typical day, I don't think there is any typical day at Marine Military Institute, but typically we have breakfast roll call around 6 o'clock, and that's just to gather all the students together, and then they go to breakfast between 7 and 8, and then the academic classes begin around 8 o'clock and continue to noon until noon. Then there's lunch roll call about 12:15, and then lunch goes from 12:15 to 1:30. Then the afternoons are devoted to more classroom instruction and sports. Tennis, for instance, you know, runs from 3 to 5. Most of the sports run from 3 to 5 here. And then there's dinner roll call at 6 o'clock. And then we have what is called a call to quarters, and that runs Sunday through Thursday evenings from 7:30 to 9:30. And basically that's evening study hall. And then TAPS, lights out, occurs at 10 o'clock. So it's a full day, and it's fairly regimented, but it's conducive to getting students to do their best work, you know, in the classroom and out of the classroom as well.
It sounds like quite a few parents worry about, and I know guidance counselors worry about, when a student leaves home and leaves the guidance of their parents, what's going to happen when they're off on their own, and how well do they manage time becomes very important. And the nice thing about MMI is that you're helping them manage time, which I'm not sure how much they appreciate it right then and there, but I'm sure they're going to appreciate it later on because they're going to have a great base to continue their education.
Yes, because the time management skills are crucial, and then they also get leadership skills here as well. So those two things alone are well worth the price of admission.
I agree. I'm going to ask you a question. I do have a little familiarity with it because sending two girls there, but I can't help to think of the last young lady that I sent.
Allison Brombeck.
Yeah, about 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, it's probably about two, 3 years ago. And she went on from here, and she went to the University of Alabama. She got a presidential scholarship, an academic scholarship, to attend there after she came here for 2 years.
And I remember, I can't help but to remember, I happen to know Allison from when she was 8 years old and gave her first tennis lesson, and her parents are just great parents, but her father, that was his little princess, and you know, nothing. Greatest guy in the world. We're still friends today, but during the high school season, I had him become his job was to sit there and make sure everybody, you know, kept rooting for everybody, and we had no problems. And one of the reasons I nominated him was because anything close, his daughter was right. And I remember when Allison was a senior year, he said, I don't have that job no more, do I? And I said, one more year, Bob, I'd have to train nobody else. And I remember, as you remember, she had a knee problem, and one of the concerns was, were your medical staff going to be able to handle that? And I remember the first week she was gone, getting a call from Bob, and at 7 o'clock in the morning, and he's a coach. He said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Having my coffee." He said, "Would you like company?" So I said, "Sure, Bob, come on over." And we sat at coffee together. And at that time, he was, you know, I don't know if Allison can handle this. I think I ought to go get her and take her home. And I think I had this conversation with you before, and I said, "Well, you know, what did your wife tell you?" She said that, you know, that I should mind my own business. And I said, "Well, wives sometimes have some good points." So I reminded him that I had a princess too, and we all have them, but that sometimes we got to let them go. And I commend you because I know besides dealing with her and her knee problems, I'm sure I wasn't the only one that got phone calls. You were far enough away, though, that you didn't have to have coffee a lot of times.
but we do, speaking of Allison's knee problems, we do have a full-time athletic trainer on staff, and there's a local doctor, you know, that treats, you know, sports injuries as well. So we have that covered.
And Allison still talks about your trainer. She still, when I talk to her, she insisted. I don't know if I agree, if the best in the world or not, but for sure she was happy with her experience there. Can you tell us something about the average tennis player there, who they are, what are they like? I think back of another girl, the first girl I sent to you, and she came back trying to recruit for you at our school, and Taylor was a very prim young lady, and liked her high heels. I remember a couple times having to threaten her that if you come on the court with those high heels, you know, that the whole team is going to follow you to the stadium and we're going to do stairs for the next hour and a half. So who is the average student, the tennis student there? What do they look like?
Well, the average tennis player during the course of my tenure here has ranged, you know, we've had some, you know, ranked beginners to, you know, very, very experienced players. And recently we've gotten an influx of some, you know, really good players. And we had one tremendous girl from Florida. Her name was Rachel Rossi, and she won practically every tennis award known to womankind when she was here. She won the Wilson ITA JUCO Southeast Regional Singles Championship in 2008 and 2009. And then in 2009, she won the Southeast Regional Doubles Championship with Ashley Grafton, a really athletic, tremendous talent there. And Rachel also went on to win two Alabama Community College Conference MVP titles in 2009 and 2010. And this year, we probably have her equal in Carly Conway, who won the 2014 USTA ITA JUCO South Regional Singles Championship. And she beat our own Maria Cespedes, another MMI player, in the championship match, and they won the doubles championship at the regionals too. And, you know, the regional championships are, you know, big-time tennis, and we go against some top-notch competition. So that's on the female side. On the male side, we've had two Alabama Community College Conference MVPs in Alex Fioravanti in 2012 and Shepard Newcomb in 2013. And then beginning in 2012 and going through 2014, we've had in 2012, we had a singles regional runner-up in Peter Solomon. He's from Virginia. And that same year, Peter Solomon and Pilgi Min won the doubles championship. And then the following year, Romar Hernandez won that regional title. And then he and Jake McDonough won the doubles championship. And then this year, we have a young man from California, another Californian, Kaiser De Leon. He won the singles championship. And then another Californian, Morgan Hale, and his partner, Andrew Wright, who is from Texas, they won the 2014 doubles championship at the regional level there. And so, you know, we've been getting some tremendous players from all around the nation. Hotbeds happen to be, you know, Florida, California, and Texas. And then this past recruiting year, I got a number of players out of North Carolina, about three players there. So recruiting is going gangbusters, and you know, it could be a lot better on the women's side, but I think it's just the fear of, you know, hearing military school, and you know, it's off-putting to some people. And but as far as men's recruiting goes, last year I filled up all my tennis scholarships and gave those out, and this year I'm on target to do the same with the men.
It's interesting, and I could imagine being a military institute that you have a little bit more problems on the women's side. But I must tell you, Chuck, it seems like across the nation, there's scholarships available or funds available for women that aren't being used. I get requests every single year to place on our FHSTCA Facebook or social media colleges looking for players, and especially in the women's side. And it seems like this year, I know at least four times on our Facebook we have posted schools having scholarships or financial assistance available on the women's side of tennis, and there's at least a half a dozen coaches that we have shared their telephone numbers and emails and the school information with them, so they, you know, so the people will know about it. And you, well, do you have a website of how would the, what are the ways that tennis people interested in playing tennis can contact you?
Well, Coach Denise, be sure to put us on that website, and we'd really appreciate that. But to contact me here at the school, you can go to our main website at www.marionmilitary.edu, and then up at the top there should be a tab for athletics. Click on that tab, and then that should lead you to the athletic website. And once you're there, there would be a recruiting tab near the top, and then there's a prospective student athlete form. Fill that out, and if it's tennis, you know, I'll get back to you. And if it's some other sport, the coaches, I'm sure, will contact you as soon as they get that information. And you can also go on the athletic department website, and my telephone number, my office number, and my email address are there, and you can contact me via that route as well.
Besides the men and women tennis, what other team compete or am I?
Okay, for the other, the other teams consist of, there's women's softball, and then there's women's tennis. And for the men's sports, we have baseball, basketball, and wrestling, and also men's tennis. So we have a number of sports, and probably in the future, you know, we'll expand a few sports at a time, you know, depending on the needs of the campus and, you know, what we can sustain in the long haul.
A few years ago when I returned, well, I should guess it was 5-6 years ago, when I returned to the University of Rhode Island when I was the tennis coordinator for the World Scholar Athlete Games. And I was shocked to see, and I happened to be stationed in Rhode Island when I was in the Marine Corps, you know, some 40-some years previous to that. And it's a beautiful campus. I mean, just a beautiful, beautiful campus. But, God, the campus was just the same as it was 45 years ago. Mm-hmm. Can you describe the dorms and the food at MMI? I'm a young student going in there. What am I looking at?
Okay, well, we have 5 dorms on campus. Trustees Hall, Wilkerson Hall, Murphy Hall, Loveless Hall, and James W. Rain Hall. And all those dorms are basically the same. They're just typical college dorm rooms. They're very Spartan. They have 2 beds, 2 desks, and then there's kind of areas that you can put all your clothes and things like that. But as I said, unlike a typical college class or dorm room, you know, there's not a lot of decoration that goes on. You know, there's not a lot of rugs and drapes and things like that, and, you know, posters, things of that nature. But, you know, they do, the kids do well with what they have, and, you know, they set up the dorm room, you know, very nicely. And during the last couple years, the powers that be here have taken it upon themselves to put some money into the dorms and refurbish, you know, a lot of the rooms. And so the rooms, the hallways, and the restrooms are looking pretty spiffy. And as far as the dining hall experience is concerned, we have a new service on campus called Sage Dining, and they publish a menu each week. And today I was looking to see, you know, if I might go over there for dinner. And dinners, some of the dinner items on the menu include antipasto salad, balsamic chicken salad, edamame and wheat berry salad, dill cucumber salad, grapes, cantaloupe, corned beef, gouda cheese, chicken enchilada casserole, broccoli cheese casserole, stewed okra and tomatoes, steamed peas, seasoned mixed beans, seasoned black beans, and so on the menu. And the interesting thing about the menu is that it's color-coded. They have like green dots, orange dots, yellow dots, and red dots. And it's kind of like, you know, a stoplight. You know, if it's green, you can eat as much as you want. If it's yellow, you know, be a little bit careful. If it's red, you know, you just might have one helping instead of five. So I've heard nothing but, you know, rave reviews about this new dining service, and it's, you know, tremendous. And it's just it's just been in business since January, and all the tennis players, you know, have really enjoyed themselves there, and you know, so it's a cut above what we had, and you know, and everybody seems to be pleased, faculty, students, and staff.
This sounds very good. I can't help but to think to about 12 years ago when we were at a college in North Carolina taking kids to the AAU Junior Olympics, and we were having lunch at the cafeteria at the college, and all of a sudden my wife Bobby looks at me and she says, "This food is very good. There's nothing wrong with this." And I says, "No, honey, there really isn't." And she said, "Well, what were our kids talking about?" And I used to tell her, because kids always come home from college and they say, "Oh, you have to fix me this and you have to fix me that." And we were no different. Bobby would be sitting there making all kinds of stuff to send them back to college with. But it was really amusing to sit there and watch her eating and all of us saying, you know, "God, this is good food." Yeah, I tried to tell you that years ago.
But it's amazing how college cafeteria food has changed, you know, through the years. When I was going to college, you know, it was the pits. And nowadays, you know, they have vegetarian fare. You know, they have all kinds of things, as, you know, as I listed just on that dinner menu. I mean, yeah, the choices are, you know, spectacular.
Yeah, really. They really are. Let me ask you another question. A big interest today is what colleges, financial assistance, naturally scholarships, and I'm always preaching. I think one of the biggest misconceptions that I hear, and I have to admit, us tennis pros are guilty of it, is that if you're not in the you know, top 100, you can't play college tennis. Well, when you look at how many colleges there are around the country, and that, you know, you would go six singles deep in most of them, and playing doubles, you say, "Wait a minute." It's been a little while since I had math, but these numbers just don't seem to add up correctly. What do you have available there as far as scholarship funds, or do you do other things as far as with the student athlete, as far as grades? Is there financial assistance available?
Okay. Well, we have 9 tennis scholarships available for the men's team, and we also have 9 tennis scholarships available for the women's team. And our tennis scholarships cover tuition, and that includes out-of-state tuition, and it also covers fees and books for the entire academic year. And the first year expenses at MMI then would be room and board, approximately $4,500. And then there's a one-time uniform fee of about $1,900, so for a total of $6,400. And then in the next year, the second year, you don't have to pay the uniform fee again. You just have to pay the room and board, and the second year would be $4,500. And then what tennis players and all students do is they fill out a FAFSA form, and FAFSA is an acronym for Free Application for Federal Student Aid. And then the school gets that particular information, and then they send out, you know, a report to the student, you know, here's what you're eligible for, you this much in grant aid and this much in loans. And also I tell prospective tennis players, to look in their communities and, you know, at the school that they're going to attend, look at institutional scholarships. We have those here at MMI, and we have foundation scholarships, and then we also have ROTC scholarships. And just go on the financial aid tab, you know, look for those, and you can apply for those in one fell swoop, and whatever you're eligible for, it will discern what you're eligible for and what you're not, and you might be able to, you know, pick up, you know, $500 to $1,000, you know, extra toward your final bill. So there is money out there, and you know, our school is, you know, a little more expensive than, you know, other schools, but you know, with the tennis scholarship and with other scholarship and money's available, you can whittle that down considerably.
Very good. The tennis players, they'll play tennis in the spring and in the fall?
Yeah, we have practically a year-round schedule, beginning in the fall and lasting through May. And in the fall, we kind of have an abbreviated schedule, maybe 4 to 5 matches and maybe 1 to 2, one or two tournaments. But we always make it a point to go to the ITA regional tournament so that we compete against, you know, good competition, and you know, we get our players, you know, some, you know, rankings in singles and doubles. So by participating in that, we do that. And then in the spring season, we have anywhere between 10 to 15 matches, and then we have a state tournament, which is held in Decatur, Alabama. And then if we're fortunate to win that tournament, we go on to the national tournament. And for the men, it's held in Plano, Texas. And for the women, it's held in Tucson, Arizona. So we play, as I said, you know, practically year-round.
So they'll get enough tennis in there then.
Oh, they'll get plenty. And then we practice, you know, from 3 to 5. And, you know, and, well, we have to stop practicing, I think it's about mid-November. The NJCAA, you know, has a cutoff date, so you abide by that cutoff date, and then we start up about probably a couple weeks after we get back in January, and then we can commence playing again. But pretty much, you know, practically year round.
Well, let me ask you a question, Chuck. The girls that I've sent up there, they've told me a few humorous stories. Is there anything that you would be willing to share?
I'll have to.
I'd be on the spot, I know it.
Well, I do have one story jumps to my mind, readily jumps to my mind, and it's about a player named Gabe. He was here a couple years ago. He is now attending the University of Arkansas. He's in their business school over there. But he was kind of a male airhead, and, you know, he was the nicest kid. And but anyway, we were up at the van, and he comes up. We're going to Jasper, Alabama, and we're going to play Itawamba Community College. up there. So they were meeting us over from Mississippi up in the top portion of Alabama here. And so Gabe comes to the van. We're all ready to go. He has his flip-flops on. And, you know, I never before or since have asked a player, you know, in flip-flops, if they happen to be wearing flip-flops, you know, if they pack their tennis shoes. But on this day, I made it a point to ask Gabe if he had packed his tennis shoes. And he said, "Coach, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, you don't want to know what I think, Gabe." I said, "Have you packed them or not?" He goes, "Of course I have, Coach." And I said, "Well, jump in the van." And we head on up to Jasper, Alabama. And we get there, and, you know, we only have about 10 minutes to prepare before the match and warm up. And I said to the kids, "Well, put on your shoes, you know, get your tennis rackets, get out there on the courts. We only have a few minutes, 10 minutes to warm up, get out there and get cracking." So I'm talking to Paul Johnson, the Itawamba Community College coach, and, you know, we're talking shop. And I see out of the corner of my eye, Gabe sidling up to me. And he keeps on coming closer and closer. And I know this can't be good. And he goes to me, he goes, "Coach, I forgot my shoes." And he was kind of a card, you know, and he was always cutting up and things. And I said, "Oh, you know, great joke, Gabe. Now, you know, you take the longest to warm up." And I said, "Put those shoes on and get out on that court." And he then proceeds to tell me, he goes, "Coach, I really don't have my shoes." And at that point, I went into a flurry of expletives, and I just, I said, "Where the heck do you think I'm going to find a shoe store in Jasper, Alabama? I've never been to Jasper, Alabama in my entire born days." And so anyway, I said, "You know, get in the van," and, you know, so we're going up the road, you know, traveling up the road 100 miles an hour, trying to find a shoe store, and I'm ranting and raving all the way, and, you know, finally we see this shoe store. Gabe hops out of the van, and he goes in and gets a cheap pair of shoes and comes out. So we go back, we play the match, and, you know, he's playing horrible up there on one of the top courts, and, you know, I just can't bear to look. But anyway, he gets off the court. He comes over with his pair of tennis shoes, and they have a big hole in them. And he goes, "Coach, I have a hole in this new pair of shoes." And I said, how is that humanly possible, Gabe, when you don't even run?" And so every time I see him and every time he sees me, you know, we always bring up how he forgot his tennis shoes for the match up in Jasper, Alabama. And so that's one of my humor stories there.
It wore out a new pair in one day.
in one match. They don't make tennis shoes like they used to.
I guess not. We missed you last year, Chuck, at the workshop because we moved it to October. But we're going back to December, about 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Daytona Beach, Florida, this year. Mark that off on your schedule. I'd love to see you again.
Well, I definitely will. I'll put it down now and jot that down, you know, I hope to, you know, see you at that time, and, you know, I always look forward to your tennis conferences. They're always, you know, jam packed with information and interesting speakers, you know, I definitely will try to make it this year.
If you could, we would appreciate it. We always look forward to seeing you. And I think there's a couple of new additions this year. So, for instance, Wilson Tennis is going to be presenting Coach of the Year awards. And our FHSAA 4 classification. So there'll be 4 coaches that will be chosen as Coach of the Year. So you'll be able to cuddle up to them, because I'm sure there's a reason that they're going to be chosen as Coach of the Year, and they probably have some good prospects in different parts of the state there. So I think, you know, as normal, it should be a very good workshop, but some of our partners have are looking to make it an even more worthwhile presentation. Maybe one of the things, look at your schedule, one of the things that you want, and nothing, you know, the one thing I should tell the people, you and I think we go back long enough so we could talk honestly with each other. But as Chuck knows, I'm always applying pressure to everybody, and he's no different than the rest of the coaches here. The other thing we'd like to do is we'd like to see you do a presentation on college tennis, maybe something on doubles. So give that some thought, too, and, you know, hopefully we see you at the workshop.
Well, thanks for putting me on the spot on the radio. I appreciate that. but I'll give that some consideration.
Very good, Chuck. Let me ask you a question before we go. I can't believe this, that we're running out of time here. But are you going to be heading down to Jensen Beach, or is that all put to bed? You and Karen know if you're coming down, Bobby and I would love to see you. We have room at the house for you. So are you going to be heading down this way, or is that all taken care of?
That's all taken care of there, and so we won't be heading down anytime soon. But we will definitely shoot for December, since we know well in advance, and we'll try to make it down there, because we always enjoy ourselves in Florida, and you know, we always enjoy seeing you and Bobby, and so we'll put it on our calendars this year.
Very good. Well, we look forward to it, because we enjoy having the two of you here, too. And I was concerned after not seeing you for a year. I'm saying, gee, I hope he's not recruiting the rest of the country and forgot about our Florida high school players. But that's not the case, huh?
No. I'll never forget Florida.
that's good to know. And I know there's Texas and California are great states for high school tennis. I was in December, I was at the Texas Tennis Coaches Association, and wow, what an experience that was. 600 high school coaches from around the state gathering, and a lot of very similar to our workshops, except that truthfully they had a lot more people than we draw. So, you know, you're going in and a good place. And I know A.G. LaGoria in California is a gentleman that is going to make California very popular. So, good luck to you the rest of the year, Chuck, and I look forward to talking and seeing you soon.
Well, thank you, Coach Denise. I appreciate you're having me on, and you know, good luck to you with your new radio talk show. I'm sure it'll be a hit.
As long as we have people like you on, it'll be a hit.
well, I don't know about that. Maybe you got over the bump now.
Thank you, Chuck, and I will I look forward to seeing you in December.
All right. Well, take care. Say hello to Bobby.
I will. Take care now. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Right. I hope you appreciate it, Chuck. I would tell you it's an outstanding place to go to school. I think too often we forget about that everybody's not going to play Division One or Division Two, and there's great play in Division Three, and in many of the community colleges. Unfortunately, not so much in Florida because we went the opposite direction, I'm ashamed to say. But in most of the country, there's great places to play. And everybody matures at a different time. So it's important that, you know, you find the right place for, you know, where your child, I shouldn't say your child, your student athlete belongs. And that's just as important. And thinking back, some of the humorous stories that I had with the up there, and there's a time to let go of your children, and it's difficult. I know I have to admit it wasn't that easy for me when my children were in college, but they made out well without me, so maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's hard for the parents to understand that there. Like I was saying to Chuck, one of the things that Wilson is doing this year is having the Coach of the Year awards that are going to be given there. The other one of the other activities we have is our regional training event, and Wilson has Wilson Direct Junior program, which there's outstanding savings on. And this isn't for everybody, but if you come to one of our regional workshops and your number one and number two player is playing with the Wilson racket, then Wilson has a program where they will give the coach, and the coach can sit there and nominate that number one or number two player to receive those savings. So there's a lot of things that we do with the FHSTCA, and it's always for the, not just for the coach, but for the player and for the parent there. We know that it's important. The community, our all-star tournament is going to follow the FHSAA state championships the last weekend in April. We'll be at the Winter Park Tennis Center again, a beautiful place to watch tennis. Wilson will be using the Wilson ball. They'll be giving all the players and coaches goodie bags. Our players and coaches will look good because Team Connection will also be supplying the shirts for the players and coaches there. And besides that, there, Team Connection also has a program with the FHSTCA where they play forward, and those all-stars will accumulate points for the 216 players, where a school will be able to get free Team Connection tennis uniforms. Those players that are playing FHSTCA team challenges will be able to get points to accumulate to see who wins the uniforms. People involved in the USTA tournaments will receive points. The people in the state championship will receive points. Those that are doing volunteer service will receive even more points. And, of course, the greatest points will be given for the highest grade point averages. So if you go to the website, www.fhstca.org, and you go to the resource page and you go to Team Connection, you will see how the your players can sit there and give forward to next year to possibly have your school receiving free uniforms. It takes many to do the things we do, and we're appreciative to all of those. The Billie Jean Eye coach, what a great way to say, a great assistant coach for the coaches there. Dean Street Insurance, they've stepped up to the plate and they're given a community service award because high school, to be successful, has to be in the community. So being part of the community is very, very important, and Dean Street Insurance will be given a community service award this year. So that becomes very, very important. And if you don't have a Dean Street in your community, then go to the website www.deanstreetinsurance, and you will find people there that will take care of you. We've come to the end of the show. I remind you that next week we will be talking to Jim Marks, Mr. Florida Tennis, and that should be an exciting gentleman. He is Mr. Florida Tennis. So thank you for being part of the show. Thank you for calling in. Thank you, Chuck Wright, for your information. And you have a blessed week, and I look forward to sitting and talking to you next week.